right, very rarely do we get a very special guest, and we have one today, and his name is Marcus Shelby. He's a very talented entertainer here in the Bay Area. He's a composer, a bassist, and he's done so much really great work in the area of music, and he's now ventured into the baseball world as well. He's a great baseball fan. He's a Giants fan. He's a professor of, I'm going to call you a professor, I like that, of history of the Negro Leagues, and he has got a major concert coming up. It's a free concert at the Yerba Buena Gardens Festival Saturday, September 8th at 2018, of course, at 1 p.m. So, Marcus, nice to have you with us. It's a pleasure to have you out here at the ballpark.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you for having me.
Go ahead, Adam. Go.
Tell us about the event. Yeah, tell us what inspired this. And it's a musical tribute with ties to the Negro Leagues and the Negro League players. So lay this out for us and tell us what to expect.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I'm a big fan of the program. And the Black Ball, the Negro Leagues, and the Blues is really a celebration of this time period in our country when we had segregation and by the result of that, segregated baseball. And we had some great players, as we all know, Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, and some players that played in the Negro Leagues that went on to play in the major leagues, like Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby and, of course, Willie Mays and Monty Irving. And so it really just sort of brings to life this history in the form of a big band concert in which we introduce many of these characters, like a live radio show. And so we'll have an announcer. We have the great Don Lacey, who's a local personality and actually was on the air at KPU for over two decades. And so he's going to serve as sort of our radio announcer. And we have a big band, and we have actors that are going to come out and sort of recreate some of these moments. And we'll have people like Effa Manley, who was the owner of the Newark Eagles for many years and was very influential in Negro League baseball. And of course, we have a Satchel Paige character and we have a Jackie Robinson character. And we also talk about the history of Tony Stone, who, Marty, you know very well. A lot about Tony, who was a second baseman and took the job of Hank Aaron.
Tony Stone, a lady.
Yes, Tony Stone,
a
lady.
They may think Tony Stone is Tony Gwynn.
Ah! You know? Yeah. Nah, T-O-N-I.
Correct.
Who played for the Indianapolis Clown and actually spent the last part of her career out here in the Bay Area. And so it's really a musical event. I have a wonderful friend and collaborator I've worked with for over the last two decades who wrote six different sketches. His name is Val Hendrickson. And he wrote six different sketches that bring to life some of this history. And we're going to be doing this at the Yerba Buena Gardens Festival. It's a free concert outside, September 8th. We also, Marty, we also have clowns. And we know that during the Negro Leagues, some of these games were preceded by entertainment, much like we might see with the Harlem Globetrotters. Matter of fact, I believe the owner of the Harlem Globetrotters owned some of these black ball teams.
Abe Saperstein, absolutely. Abe was instrumental in getting Larry Doby to the Cleveland Indians.
Ah.
Because Bill Veeck was Abe Saperstein's best friend.
Okay.
So why Larry Doby in Cleveland? Well, after Jackie Robinson came in April, in July, Larry Doby integrated the American League of the Cleveland Indians, because Bill Veeck and Abe Saperstein got together with Effa Manley and got Larry Doby to the Cleveland Indians through Abe Saperstein, who was the agent for many of the Negro League ball players and owned the Globetrotters and started that. So that's how Larry Doby got, and think of Satchel Paige. How did he end up in Cleveland?
I know.
Abe Saperstein. Abe Saperstein brought him to Bill Veeck, who owned the Cleveland Indians.
I want to also mention that Effa Manley first made was the first one to enable a player, Larry Doble, to get paid.
Exactly.
The Newark Eagles for the services of Larry Doble. That didn't happen with Jackie Robinson.
No. Branch Rickey just took him.
Just took him.
You mean purchasing his rights from the Newark
Eagles.
Right.
Exactly. And J.D. Wilkinson, who owned the
Kansas City
Monarchs.
Right.
Very interesting man. Excuse me, Wilkinson. White man from Iowa. Somehow he owned the Kansas City Monarchs, and a very nice man, and really took care of all the players and really promoted baseball. So Branch Rickey went and took Jackie from the Monarchs, and Wilkinson said, "So long, see you later." Well, when they tried to do that with Effa, She said, not so fast.
Exactly.
Because the Dodgers wanted Monty Irvin. And Effa said, not so fast, Branch Rickey. I want $10,000. And to get $10,000 out of Branch Rickey is like me asking for Carmen for, you know, for $1 million or something like that. Just, it's not going to happen. So Effa Manley took the phone, and she called Horace Stoneham. Mm-hmm. Said, Horace, I got Monty Irvin here.
That's New York Giants.
Right. That's right. Right. Would you like Monty Irvin for $10,000? And Horace says, where do I send the check? And that's how Monty Irvin got to the Giants.
Wow.
But
wow.
But you've done such amazing work. I love talking about this stuff. And you're a historian as well, and Adam as well. We always talk about this stuff. You've put together an amazing performance. And I mean this. I wish I could see it. I hope you're going to tape it or have it available on video.
Well, I can say, Marty, we're going to perform it again in May at the San Francisco Jazz Festival. And that would be May 2019. I'll be there a week. And the exact date escapes me right now. I believe it might be May 23rd or 22nd. But we are performing it for SF Jazz. It's a little bit later. And so there will be another opportunity.
Yeah, just don't take a weekend. That's I have no life on a weekend from February until November. That's basically what happens.
Yeah.
But hold that mic up there so we hear
you.
Good. All right. But I say it again. This is music.
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking parts, monologues.
Mm-hmm.
It's some acting as mm-hmm. well. It's singing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you put this together. This is something else. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. I mean it. And I want to say it again. Yerba Buena Gardens, between Mission and Howard, 3rd and 4th Street. And that is going to be on September 8th at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Pretty good.
And we've tried to model it around, you know, the excitement of a game. So we have pregame with the clowns. They'll be doing activity. And we also have, with the clowns, we'll do an actual at-bat. So we have musical accompaniment of all of this happening on stage. And one of the things I wanted to mention was that, you know, it's the blues and baseball are two things that America has given the world. So it's something that I think is a natural connection. It's something that is part of our history. And even if there were, early on, you know, there were African Americans in professional baseball. Fleetwood Walker, his brother Welday. There were even some black players who passed as white to be able to play in the majors. And that all broke up right around the end of the 19th century with Cap Anson.
That's right.
And so there's this long, beautiful history of where black athletes, black baseball players wanted the same opportunities and played this wonderful, beautiful game like the other players. And I believe that this history should be exposed. It was about 60 years, you know, up until Jackie Robinson. At times with the evolution of the blues and swing and jazz. And so it's really around this concert of music, introducing these wonderful players, these people who were not even players but part of the institutions, like Lester Rodney, who was a writer who advocated for the integration of baseball, Effa Manley, of course, as an owner. And so that's what we're very thankful to the Yerba Buena Gardens for promoting and for sponsoring and commissioning this.
It's great. I love it.
It's awesome.
You're saying all
so
the names
cool.
that go around in my head all the time. And I met Lester Rodney.
Oh, did you?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. If you go to my loveofthegameproductions.com, just type in Lester Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
I did about an hour and a half interview with him. And Lester was a sports editor of the Daily Worker, the communist newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that happen? It was in the 30s. And Lester was in New York. And a great sports writer. He was a great man. And he would read the Daily Worker, because in the 30s, things were difficult economically in the country. And if you didn't explore an ism,
mm-hmm.
you weren't thinking. So communism was something that was explored, because the country was in a deep depression. So Lester would read the Daily Worker, and it had a sports section. And the sports section was awful.
Yeah.
And Lester Rodney wrote a letter to the editor of the Daily Worker and said, you know, your sports section stinks. So the editor said, really? Why don't you become the sports editor? And Lester Rodney became the sports editor of the Daily Worker. And the first stories and the first columns pushing the integration of baseball through the media other than through the African-American press of Wendell.
Yes.
And Lacey, and Sam Lacey.
Yeah.
Lester was the first white person to do it. And then World War II came, and, of course, things happened after that. But Lester Rodney, a very famous part of it. So, you know, this is going to be terrific. This is really going to be good, what you've done. This is going to be really terrific.
Well, thank you, Marty. It's taken a lot of collaboration. I have some people I've been working with for a very long time. I mentioned Val Hendrickson, the writer of the sketches, but also Andy Wong, someone I've done a lot of work with and various past projects, education, the Yerba Buena Gardens Festival, where I've had a 10-year residency, my band that I've had for almost 20 years, and then the various artists. And so I will say part of my education has been weekends with Marty over the last several years. The education, the history, I mean, you're the one who inspired me to start going to spring training. I started writing this piece while I was in Arizona and just sitting there going to the various ballparks and just thinking about the sound of baseball. The sound of baseball is like the sound of jazz. You got swing, you know, you really got this really beautiful athleticism that happens on the field, which to me is a lot like rhythm. When I think of a team, I also think of a band, and I think about how a coach or a band leader might manage that band. And I think of, I love Bochy. You know, I mean, even with all of these problems our teams have been having over the last 2 years, I love the type of coach that Bochy is, the type of loyalty, the type of leadership, the type of steadfastness that he's shown, even through these tough, you know, these difficult times. And I think about that as a band leader. I think, how do you handle a group of individuals? You know, all have individual talents, but you got to have sort of a collective expression and response. A lot about baseball is a lot like music. And I try to, you know, I come to games early, sit and watch the pregame just so that I can hear the sound of the game.
Love it. You know, sometimes I'll sit at a game with my eyes closed and just listen to the ball hit the bat.
Oh.
And I did this the other night because I don't leave until there's the first hit if I'm going to go home early. So I'm not working. Sometimes I'll go home early. And the other night I was looking down, and I heard the crack of the bat.
Ooh.
And I said, that's the first hit.
Was it McCutcheon?
No, it was a Texas Ranger.
Oh, was it Odor?
Yeah. It was the top half of the first.
Because he's been hitting the ball hard all weekend.
That was a hit. But what you say is very true. As I always said, and Branch Rickey again said this, you can find anybody that knows the X's and O's of when to hit and run and when to take a pitcher out. But what makes a great manager is managing men or women, but managing your team and understanding the people, and that's what you're talking about.
And I think the word he's speaking to is rhythm. I mean, in music you hear that all the time, but baseball has got a special and a unique rhythm that I think it takes to pick up on. And you found it with this piece, so it's very cool
you're
doing
this. Yeah, this is terrific. Yeah. I tell you, so now did you say you're going to tape it or not tape it?
Well, we certainly will record
it. I hope you do.
And we've recorded some. We've recorded some of the music already. And, you know, I mean, most of us...
I'd love to hear it.
I will definitely send you some. You know, most of the... You know, when we think about music and baseball, there's actually a lot of music out there over the years. You know, we can go back to Count Basie. He covered a song called "Did You Ever See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball?"
He hit it, and that ain't all. He's going home. Yeah, that's a great song.
That's a great song. We actually are going to perform that song in our concert.
Beautiful.
I did an arrangement of it. And Mabel Scott did Baseball Boogie. There was a song that celebrated the Joe DiMaggio, Jolton Joe DiMaggio. I mean, I'm talking specifically of this time period, swing.
There's
and
a
blues.
Hammer. There's a they don't do this anymore where they make songs for players. They had the Hammer and Hank song.
Oh,
they had
yes.
They had the Willie Mays song.
Say hey.
Willie. Say who? Say Willie. Yeah.
Yes.
I love Mickey. There's the Mickey Mantle song. See, there's tons of them for every player, and they don't do them anymore. Dude. Yeah.
And
cool.
This would be the weekend too, the players' weekend, to really kind of have that happen.
I may be calling in sick. September 8th.
Oh, hey man, come on down.
You know?
Come on down. Yeah,
this is my cup of tea. This is really
I forgot
good.
Who we were playing that weekend. I did check.
They're gone that weekend. They're out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Well.
So maybe get away from the Milwaukee game and you can check out the
Milwaukee
the performance.
We're on noon to 3.
All right.
Okay.
noon to 3 on
his schedule. It's Marty Pass, yeah, schedule there. Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, that's Marcus Shelby. This is very special.
Thank you. I wanted to mention, I follow you big time on my Twitter and I know on Instagram. My Twitter is @Marcus_Shelby. But I try to kind of, someone said, are you ready to talk to Marty? I've been talking to Marty for 3 years. He just doesn't know.
I love it. We got to get you to our dinner.
I'd love to.
Yeah, Raph, put him down.
I know all
about
this dinner.
If you're available in September,
I've
you're coming.
I've actually thought about that. I'm like, I'd love to
go to
that.
You're invited in September.
Thank you,
Marty. Yeah, we'll give you the date. So make sure you leave me your information how to get in touch with you.
Thank you, brother. I had to drop one of those.
Nice job, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. All right.
I take a lot of grief.
It's a beautiful day for baseball.
I take a lot of guff on this show, I want to tell you. Pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Marty.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Adam.
Pretty good. I may have you
Carmen
do the show with him. I'll be out of here. You, Carmen, and Adam can do the show.
There we go.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, thank you.
All right, more coming up in the sports news.